Flames is a podcast created by best friends and twin flames, Chloe and Hillary, about personal development, shifting the perspective, and becoming your most authentic self. Chloe is a spiritual practitioner, astrologer, and entrepreneur. Hillary is a mindfulness expert, happiness educator, and therapist in training. We combined our strengths and knowledge to bring you the best of what we have found to be helpful to us on our respective journeys.
Okay, so because we both know how much I love to talk about 90s everything, because it's fascinating and nostalgic.
Yes.
Do you remember, and I don't know if we've talked about these before, do you remember those toys, Sky Dancers?
Yes! Yes!
I had one, but like recently, or it wasn't recent, but a while back, I saw this GIF of somebody that had a Sky Dancer, and it was just like a little girl playing, and the GIF literally was her setting off the Sky Dancer, and the Sky Dancer floated directly into a fire that they had going in their
no.
house. Like, it was like in the fireplace, and just, it was done, girl. It was melted.
Oh.
Like,
oh no, I would have been so sad.
Right? Those things were also kind of scary, though. Like, I was always afraid that bitch was going to get tangled in my hair.
I know. Seriously. They were so cool.
Right? If you guys don't know what the hell we're talking about, like what a Sky Dancer is, it was like a doll that like you put it on this stand and mm-hmm. then it had a string that you could like pull. And when you pulled it, like the doll had almost like wings, I guess, on her arms.
Yeah.
And it would make the doll like jump off of the stand. I'm doing this no justice. And
no, but it makes
it
sense.
Would, it's like, with, yeah. twirl in the air. Like
yes, like one of those seeds.
Like a propeller.
Trees.
Like it would
yeah,
just like
a propeller.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like one of those seeds. I like that one more. Yeah. Like one of those, totally.
I always thought those seeds were so cool when they would fall and like just flip
oh,
around.
Hell yeah.
So cool. Oh, Sky Dancers were amazing. Wasn't there like a show?
Was there?
Too? I might be blending
different
things.
I was going to say, oh my God, because I did not watch this. And girl, I need to educate myself.
Damn, now I need to go back and find out if I'm blending things or if that's what it was. Ooh, do you remember Furby?
Yes. Those things. Furby. Baby Furby was my favorite. Like the baby Furbies. They were so cute and annoying.
They were like super cute, but weirdly demonic.
Yes.
Like they would just wake up in the middle of the night in your freaking closet and start
talking.
You're
like, hi. I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up.
That was the creepiest shit. Like, oh my gosh. Speaking of which, I don't know. Have you seen Grace and Frankie?
Yes. I haven't watched the new season though, but I've seen the other episodes.
Oh, well, at one point, I won't say anything, but at one point in the new season, Frankie, who literally, I just want to grow up to be her.
Same energy.
Just, yes, love her. She starts speaking in Furbish, the language
shit.
Of the Furbies. It's so good.
Oh my God.
And then one person is listening and goes, I always meant to learn Furbish. And I was like, oh my God.
I love that show. I hope it like never ends.
Same.
I saw that the new season had come out and I just haven't made the time recently to watch it. But I've been like anticipating. You know what else? I feel like I was definitely raised to be a Grace, but I definitely have moved into just being a Frankie.
Oh my God, it's so true. It's so true.
Like my family, I feel like definitely would like, or my like parental figures or authority figures vibe with like the Grace energy.
Yeah.
Nah, dude, I am a Frankie for sure.
I so feel that. I also think that the general society at large would prefer us be Graces to Frankies.
Totally.
But all I want to do is just grow up to be Frankie.
Like, I think my
just
favorite,
want to be her.
Or one of my favorite parts in that show is when, it's like in the first season, I think maybe even in the first episode, where they drink the peyote. And
oh,
she's
yeah!
like, stop, you're making the sand angry. It's so good. That was how I knew that show was like, oh my God, I have to watch all of this.
She's so funny. The shit she says.
So if you guys haven't watched Grace and Frankie on Netflix, you're really missing out.
You have to check it out.
It's hilarious. Fantastic show.
Life goals.
Literally.
And like, it also, I love how non-ageist it is.
Yes.
That makes me super happy.
Yes.
You know, like they do so many things. I won't spoil anything, but they do so many things that are like advocating for older folk.
Yes.
And I love that. But
it's also in such like a, I feel like it's like you were saying, it's not like aged, like it to a point where like we watch it, we're not that age, but we totally resonate with it. And I think even if like my parents watched it, they could resonate with it too. Like it's
I completely agree.
It just it's a good shows show for that, all like maybe not like children if you don't like your children watching, like I don't know. There's definitely like stuff
it's
about
very
vibrators.
Sex positive. Like So, you know, moderate that with your own parenting choices. But like it's true, and I think that what you just said really speaks to the fact that we can be whatever age, we can be from different generations, but we can find common ground, we can understand each other, and we can accept each other if only we can give each other a chance. I feel like that's part of what this show does, is like, here's
God.
A glimpse, and look how we can all connect with it.
And that is like, probably my number one biggest pet peeve is when someone tells me either they can't level with me because of a personal choice, or they can't, like, they know more or they're wiser because of their age.
Oof.
That, like, and to me, like you said, I feel like this show really, like, bridges that connection. And we all have something valuable to bring to the table.
Yes.
And I love that.
Oh, it's so good.
I will always advocate for that.
Same. Seriously. I just want to go rewatch all the Grace and Frankie episodes.
I don't even remember how the season prior ended. Don't tell me, because I might go. Well, don't they recap you?
They definitely do.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I feel like I need a recap, but I think.
And if they don't show that recap at the beginning, you can always go. Netflix has made it a little more challenging to navigate, but if you go to like the image of the show, and then there's this thing that says episodes and then trailers and more, go there and they have recaps.
That's
on
brilliant.
There.
I love that. I know. Sometimes super I helpful. Wish they would do that for like Inuyasha. Like, if I could just watch, like, recaps of all the seasons and then, like, watch the final season.
Yeah, I still never got through the whole show.
Me either. And it's, like, on my bucket list for life.
Seriously. I have most of the episodes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have them, except when I ordered all the episodes, I don't know who sent it to me, but it came with one disc missing. I know. I have every episode except for whatever's on that
Hillary,
one freaking disc.
That is devastating.
I was so upset.
My soul is sad for you.
Right? But I was so passive at that point that I didn't do or say anything about it. And it's been a good, like, 10 years. So.
Yeah. I remember when you bought those.
Yeah.
Like, I was there.
I still haven't watched them.
I don't even know if the show was done by that point either. So there might be more.
That's a good question. Oh, damn it.
Just saying.
Oh, well. Anyway, a little waltz down nostalgia lane.
Yeah, that was a fun time. We talked about everything. We literally covered like 90s, the current, and also the adolescent parts of us with Inuyasha.
Yay,
we covered it
that.
All.
Time traveling with words.
Yes. But what are we talking about today, Hillary?
I'm so excited. We are talking about how we talk to ourselves.
Yes, that's right.
So stoked. Because, I mean, we all have, like, some dialogue with ourselves. We all say something to ourselves throughout the day, right?
Yes. Actually, something funny that you mentioned that, Hillary. There's a tweet, by the time this episode goes out, this has been long past. We're, like, 6 weeks ahead of schedule because we're boss-ass bitches.
Hell yeah, we are.
But basically, it was, like, some tweet talking about how some people don't have an inner monologue, like they don't hear themselves talk in their head, and so that's why so many people, not everyone obviously, some people do both, but there are a lot of people that actually prefer to talk out loud to themselves, period, because there is no inner monologue going on.
Well, you know, honestly, I find it helpful sometimes to just talk out loud. Oh, girl, I'm the queen
of talking to myself.
There's something that, like, to hear what we're saying, I mean, that's one of the great things in therapy, is you actually hear what you're saying, and then you have someone to be like, okay, so here's what you just said. And then when you hear it back, you can go, oh, okay. Right. Well, I'm not sure that I like that.
Right.
You know?
Totally.
But we all have some kind of, like, way that we talk to ourselves. And we need to be careful about how we talk to ourselves.
Yes.
And that's really why we want to talk about this today is... so many thoughts. So we all, like, get into these patterns and these habits, and maybe we take in voices from other people or from society at large or all of these different things that are judgments on ourselves. And then we'll repeat that to ourselves, and we have to really, really be careful what we say to ourselves, because it does create our view of ourself, our view of reality, our view of the world, how we are in the world, how we treat ourselves, how we treat others. I mean, it's easy to fall into habits, and that's why we want to bring awareness to it, I think. Exactly. So... there's lots of thoughts and feelings.
Lots of thoughts and feelings. I've started saying that, by the way, Hillary. And I think Andrew, like, loves it. He hasn't caught on yet, but he will. But he's always like, oh, thoughts and feelings. I like that.
It's just so true and applicable to so many things.
Like, totally.
I can't tell you how often I'll just want to rant and I'll just tell people, like, I have lots of thoughts and feelings. And we can leave it at that.
Yes.
So I think I'll just dive in and talk about my own experience.
Yeah, please do.
So I mentioned in a recent episode that I've been going to therapy for a good 15 to 20 years on and off. And I think it's been so helpful. I think there's just so much that I've gotten from it. And one of the biggest things that I learned in therapy is... to really watch how I talk to myself and to understand where it came from. That was huge, because one thing I learned is, like, I used to talk to myself really, really harshly all the time. Every single thing was some sort of judgment or criticism, or how I'm not doing well enough, or how I'm not good enough, or how something's wrong with me, or, you know, all of these things. And there was a point at which I had to stop and, first of all, realize that that's how I was talking to myself.
Right.
Because it wasn't conscious. It was a habit. I just did it because that's just how things were. And in that, I started to realize that this voice, this harsh, critical voice, didn't just pop out of nowhere. It came from somewhere.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the voice will sound like someone. Like, a lot of people, just generally speaking, the voice we'll have in our head is that of some kind of authority figure in our life.
Yes.
So a lot of people, we have the voice of a parent or both parents or a grandparent or a teacher or, you know, a social worker. Someone who is like a prominent figure who is around consistently, right?
Yes.
And so part of it was teasing that out and going, okay, whose voice is this? Is this my voice? Because I don't think it's my voice. So whose is it? And figuring that out and then understanding that this was huge for me. So what happens is when we're babies and kids and little tiny humans, when we're growing, we don't really know much unless it's modeled or taught to us.
That's right. And we're like little sponges.
Yeah. And what's really interesting, there's a process actually that happens pretty early in life and goes for quite a while where our brain gets hardwired to what we're used to in a certain way. This is a slight aside, but very much relevant. So it's kind of like the connections in our brain that are used most often are strengthened, and the connections that are not used are pruned off.
Oh.
And it takes a lot to rewire that. It's possible, but it takes a lot. And I had hardwired myself to talk to myself very, very badly. And some of it came from trauma, some of it came from life experiences, some of it came from words from others that I internalized and took on as my own. But I think the point that I want to make in that is that these things, these harsh voices, these critical words, these feelings of not enough, which I then repeated to myself over and over and over, it didn't start inside me. It didn't just randomly arise. It came from somewhere, right? And once I was able to realize where it came from, then I could tell myself, oh, wait, like, that's not okay. Like, there's a really cool thing that one of my therapists asked me a while back. God, I can't even remember when this was. But whichever therapist it was said something about, well, would you talk to your best friend like that? And I was like, no, I would never talk to Chloe like that.
And you've said that to me before, like, please be nicer to my best friend, like, yeah. When I'm being, like, shitty towards myself.
Yeah, because really, something about that was like, oh my god, why am I treating myself worse than I would treat someone that I love? Like, what, why would I do that? And then the flip side is also, well, not necessarily the flip side, but the repercussion is that by spending so much time and energy focusing on how terrible I thought I was and repeating that over and over and over, that did nothing to improve my life, my perception of myself, my interactions with others.
Right.
All that did was make me feel terrible, so I didn't interact with people as well as I could have. I didn't get as much done as I could have. I wasn't investing in myself like I do now. There's so many things that really, it was just making my life worse. And it was making my feelings toward myself worse. And once I stopped doing that, and sometimes I fall into it still.
Oh, but, yeah. I think that's easy for myself as well, I'll say.
Yeah. And I think the key is not that you stop completely and you never do it again. But for me, it was now I catch myself.
I love that.
And I go, oh, whoa, that was really mean. Like, let's come with the love. Like, let's not do that anymore. And then I'll rephrase how I'm talking to myself. So instead of, oh my god, I'm so stupid, that was just the dumbest thing, and everyone knows that I'm an idiot, it becomes, well, hang on a second. I made a mistake. And the people who care about me and who really know me, I don't think their view of me has changed. They're still there. I still have friends. I'm still a good person. Nothing changed because I made a mistake. I just made a mistake because I'm human, and that's okay.
Totally.
And that's a way different energy to have toward myself than this, like, harsh, critical, there's something wrong with you mentality.
Yeah.
And literally, it's changed everything in my life in so many ways to just be able to catch myself and be like, well, hang on, am I really as bad as I think I am? Probably not. Probably not.
Probably not.
And then to, like, accept that and then combat it and say, well, here's the things that I do well. Well, here's the things that make me a good person. Well, here's all the ways that I try really hard.
Yeah.
You know? And here's the positive feedback that I get from people. And, you know, if I looked at a friend, I wouldn't talk to them that way. And if I looked at someone doing what I'm doing, I'd probably have some warm feelings toward them.
Yeah.
So why not me?
Aww, you know, I love that.
And I'll tell you one more thing that I've done too, and this might be cool for all of you to give a try too. I'm a very visual person, so I often communicate in, like, images and all of these things. Like, Chloe, you know, I'm very visual.
Yes, she's very, very visual, and, like, good though. Like, it's really, like, it. Sometimes you take things out of my head that I didn't even. Like, you just spin it in a totally different direction, but, like, it relates, and I'm like, oh, shit, I never thought to look at it like that.
Oh, I'm so glad, because shit just comes to me, and then I say it, and then I'm like, is that right? I don't know. But But one thing I did is I got myself a visual representation of what that voice is. I call him my shame gremlin.
Oh my god, I love this.
And so I know exactly how he looks. I know how big he is. I know what his facial features are. I know the emotion that he gives off. I know every single thing about how he looks. So that then, when this stuff comes up, because really what it is a lot of the time is shame.
Yes. Like,
shame is I am not enough, right? Or rather, there's something wrong with me. That's really what shame is. And so I'll imagine my shame gremlin, and then I'll have some kind of interaction with him. So for a while, it was trying to, like, flick him off my shoulder or throw him across the room, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I realized that he was running back very quickly. So I couldn't do much with that. And then I was talking to someone, and without going too much into it, this person was young but wise. And they said, well, that's a really mean way to treat him. Can't we just put him in bed? Have him take a nap? Aww. And something about that felt so much better. And I said, yeah. Yeah, we can. And so then I would put him in bed, tuck him in, tell him he doesn't have to do his job anymore, and he can nap for a very long time.
Aww.
And there's something about that, understanding that, like, this is not me, but it is a piece of me. And I'm going to hold it with as much love and compassion as any other piece of me. But I'm also going to tell it, it's okay. You can go to sleep. And I do have to also give credit to, I think it was Elizabeth Gilbert, in Oprah's book, The Path Made Clear.
Oh,
Elizabeth
she wrote Gilbert Big Magic. Talked
about that. Oh, she's great. And she talked about that. She said something about how, it was a beautiful quote that I'll probably get wrong, but it was something about, you know, I saw that all of these pieces were parts of me, and I was able to rise above them and say, it's okay, fear. You've done your job. Go to sleep. It's okay, shame. You've done your job. Go to sleep.
Yeah.
And there's something amazing about that, because, again, consider this. If we don't like that harsh voice, but then we're harsh to that harsh voice...
Exactly.
I mean, we're kind of still stuck in the same cycle, you know? So giving that voice compassion, for me, what it's revealed is that that voice is, in itself, a scared child. It's not the big bad monster that it feels like. It's just a really scared child that needs love and care and to be told that it's okay, I see you. And you've worked so hard, but yeah. You can take a rest now. It's okay. It's been transformative for me.
I love it.
So, I could talk for hours about how I used to talk to myself, how I talk to myself now, and maybe that's worth touching on before I wrap up. I don't talk to myself that way anymore. I catch myself, and instead, I talk to myself with the utmost love and compassion and empathy, and I say, you know what? I'm trying really hard. And I'm doing my best. And really, that's all I can do. And that's a huge turnaround from... I mean, I used to say all kinds of things to myself. You're dumb, you're ugly, you're worthless.
Yeah.
Like, just think of the worst things you could say to yourself. And that's what I was saying.
Totally.
And I don't do that anymore. And it did take work. And it did take a long time. It doesn't happen overnight. Please know that.
No, it definitely does not change overnight.
But when it does change, it's amazing. And it happens in little steps, then it happens in bigger steps, and then in leaps. But it's literally changed how I look at myself, which changes how I interact with other people, which means that how I am in the world is different, which means that my entire life is different.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's all I got.
Ugh. I love this conversation.
Right? And Chloe, I really, really, really want to hear what you have to say. I'm so excited. But first, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors.
All right. So I have a couple of different things. Number one was probably back in 2017. I was right around the time that I lost my sister was like the height, I think, of like, I tell Hillary all the time, like, for lack of better words, like in 2017, I was asleep. Mm. And it took like, I mean, I don't think the transformation will ever be complete, but like the last 2 years, like my ass got woke. Like I became very consciously aware. And before that, I was just going through the motions every single day. Oh, and totally. I think my body wanted, or my, you could say my spirit, my soul, my body, my unconscious wanted me to change so badly that I would find myself every day, like, almost every day underneath my desk in fetal position crying. And I was so hard on myself. I thought that I was extremely unworthy of anything good that came my way. Who was I to have dreams and ambition and goals? Who was I to think that I was anything other than dust? And my inner monologue was so, so harsh, and just harsh from, it wasn't even my own voice, is what I came to realize a lot later, is that it wasn't even my own voice. It was the shame that a lot of others had put upon me that I internalized. Mm-hmm. And I did go to therapy, which I think was the best decision I've ever made. I did go to therapy. And even within one session, like, I was forever changed. My therapist was, she knew exactly, with me going on all the random tangents that I do, she knew exactly what to say to steer my mind in a direction that was better than where I was. And so that's kind of like the perspective I just want to give from where I started. Like, it was extremely dark, and I don't wish that for anyone. I mean, it was great because it gave me so much change came from that place. And so I'm grateful that it happened and that I was in that space, because it was so terrible that there was like no choice but to change. And moving forward, again, as Hillary said, it was not an overnight thing. I went to therapy for a little bit, and that was really helpful. I did go on medication for a little bit, and that was helpful. You know, I did what needed to be done for myself. And over time, as I absorbed more knowledge, studied more things, took better care of myself, my inner monologue started to change. I think both naturally and because I was making it happen. I think like on both accounts, because I started to feel better, the inner monologue changed, period. Mm-hmm. But I also think there was a conscious effort being made. But the thing that I really wanted to touch on today, I just wanted to give some perspective there for me. The thing I really wanted to touch on today is, during this time that I kind of spent, like I said, for lack of a better term, I hope I'm not offending anyone with this, but for lack of a better term, the time that I spent waking up, there was a period where I felt like all of my corners of the internet, you guys know, I literally say like I'm a woman of the internet. My job is all online. I love online communities. My community is everything to me. And during this time, I felt like it was not a safe place for me to be, because there was so much of my own uncertainty being poured into it, and I was not talking to myself as nicely as I could have been. And I felt like there was a point in that where I felt unworthy to even have certain creators around me. Like, I was not worthy of their attention or any kind of praise or any kind of, and these are people that are all in my same field that are just trying to figure it out exactly as I am, which at the time I thought that I was just lesser and I was unworthy and undeserving. It's very funny because it really came full circle yesterday, and I'm going to talk about that. But during this period, I removed so many people from my social media accounts, like straight up went in and hit the block and unblock feature. Because what happens when you do that, if you didn't know, is it like auto removes people from following you, and you're also not following them. Like, I was so in this place of shame that I didn't even want them to see what I was doing, and like completely removed people and went through my own thing, started healing, started, I don't have a shame gremlin, but I think I need to characterize one for myself. If Hillary's portion of this taught me anything, it's that I definitely need to give like a face and a name. And I think that would be such like a helpful, so thank you for that.
Also, and totally, I just, it's really helpful for me, but also, just a heads up for everyone, it doesn't have to be, like, a specific thing. Mine just happens to be a shame gremlin. It can, like, literally, if the voice inside of you that's harsh just feels like a big black ball, then it's a big black ball. Let it be that. Oh my god,
or like the black balls from Studio Ghibli.
Yeah.
They're so cute. Yeah.
So, like, literally, it can be anything. It doesn't even have to make, like, sense. It just has to feel right.
I like that. Thank you.
So, anyway.
What was I saying? Oh, I removed a lot of people. Okay, so yes. In doing that, to me, I was just making a safe space for myself, right? So then, however, when I started to feel better, I didn't think that I, like, this unworthiness and this inner monologue of shame that kept coming up was still there. I felt like, oh, well, now I've removed all these people. Now they probably think that I don't like them, that I have like a personal bias against them. And I didn't. It was not personal. It was not a personal decision at all. It was all based on my own healing and what I felt like I needed at the time. And I felt like I wasn't even allowed to suggest that I could come back into that realm. And so for a while, I just kind of stayed away and didn't produce any kind of like gaming content. And I think that was also good for me too, to just, because I've talked about this in past episodes, so I'm not going to go into it, but like I started to treat my business as if it was all about numbers and not people. And that was another huge problem. So I think it was also good for me to take a break. However, this really all came full circle. And I love that we're talking about this today because it really lined up with my experience. This month, which we're recording this in February, you'll hear it in March, I believe. Maybe April? I think you'll hear it in March. Not sure on that. But whenever you're hearing it is when you're hearing it. So,
yeah.
But yesterday, like I've earned, excuse me, for the month of February, getting ahead of myself, I have like recommitted myself to my gaming channel. I've been extremely inspired to create, and I think one of the biggest differences for me is I'm grateful. Like I have such a gratitude for humans as a whole, and every human is so special. And I don't have this outlook of like, oh, you're just a number that adds to my machine. Like at all.
Yes. I have break such down that gratitude. Cultural shit.
I have such gratitude, such appreciation. Every single comment that comes into my videos gets a response. Every like, I genuinely have a deep love for humanity. And that is where the root of my work is grounded in that. And it's actually, I just got goosebumps because I had a thought, an eighth side story, that last year for me personally in numerology, it was a year four, which is a year four for the collective this year. But a year four, like it was like my astrology chart, my return chart, that was like an eighth house thing. I'm telling Hillary this specifically because I mentioned that earlier and I don't want Hillary to be confused. That was a different thing. But for the actual like year numerology, it was a year four. And year four is all about looking at your foundations and your structures and fixing them or changing them so that you have a more solid foundation to continue to work through. And that's exactly what my year has been like. It was breaking down those weird biases that I had and actually finding this deep love and humility. And so anyways, continuing on in this little story, how this kind of catches up with yesterday is even though I've done so much and I feel really good, I feel like a participating member of my community now, my community means something to me. Like I think about my community and I could just start crying. Like I have such deep love and appreciation. And however, when it comes to other creators or my peers, there is still this shame that is coming up over and over and over. Like, oh, I don't deserve to be friends with them. They probably think I hate them. Even though I've gone through and re-added people, I've tweeted out even a little like brief synopsis of it wasn't personal. And like, please don't take that personally. I'm where I am now. And that doesn't mean they saw it. But, you know, I've really taken the steps to go forward and try to come back to that realm. And there's still so much shame and fear that I'm not worthy of it. And yesterday during a live stream, I'm so used to my community having like maybe 40 concurrent viewers or so when I'm streaming, which in the past, when I was at the height of my career, there was like 200 people there most often. And I was extremely used to that. But again, at that time, most of it, like, don't get me wrong, I appreciated people as individuals to an extent, but a lot of it was a numbers game for me. And I don't necessarily have shame in admitting that because I know that I've changed. The best change is changed behavior, right? Mm. And a changed outlook. Mm. But basically, I'm having my chill stream. I'm used to having a set number. And I was like, oh, I love this. I only stream because it connects me with my community. That's it. I don't stream for money. I don't stream because it literally is because I give that to my community. If you want to know me on more of a transparent level, this is where you can come to have that. And that was why I started streaming way back when, until my channel blew up. So I've really kind of gotten back to the core of that. So fast forward an hour into my stream, I get this humongous raid, which if you guys don't know Twitch culture, a raid is where another streamer can push all of the people that were watching them during their stream to your stream. And usually they come in and everybody's like, it's a such and such raid, blah, blah, blah. And this happened. And I didn't even, I handled it with, grace, and I was extremely grateful. It wasn't that, but I was so overwhelmed. I was so oh my God, I'm not worthy of this. Why is this person in the community that I respect so highly giving me this gift? I don't deserve this. I deserted my post over a year ago, and all of these shameful inner monologue thoughts of just how unworthy I was to receive this gift, really. Just came up, and I ended stream 30 minutes later, but not because of that. It was because I told myself I was only going to stream for 2 hours, and I kept my promise to myself. But after stream, I was physically shaking, and I was so wound up and so overwhelmed with these inner feelings. And I kept telling myself, you are safe. You are worthy. You are I kept repeating these affirmations.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it ended up being that it was very I don't want to go into too much detail here because it's just so extremely personal. It to me, from what I've kind of thought through, and Hillary said very kindly, Chloe, you're very intuitive. I think you already are on the right track of understanding what that was about. I came to find that also it wasn't just that. This had deep-rooted stuff with my own childhood and how I perceive my own energy. And now that I'm more consciously aware of that, and it was so much coming at me all at once. It was a number of things. But ultimately, I guess the biggest thing is even right after, I had the conscious wherewithal to sit and be you're safe. You are loved. You did your best. I'm doing my best. I did my best.
Yes.
I had the inner wherewithal to have that conversation with myself. And also, I think this is important, and I don't know if you mentioned this, Hillary, because I just don't know if it was pertinent to your topics, but something else that when I'm in that moment of talking to myself that way because something has happened, it's triggered it, mm-hmm. I will also ask myself, what is this teaching me?
Oh, yes. I love that question.
And that's
I love that question.
Such a key component of the inner monologue, in my opinion. I think that could even be a starting step. What is this trying to teach me? Because I think a lot of us beat ourselves up after something has triggered it, mm-hmm. for the most part. Not everyone, but I see that a lot.
Yeah. Because it's a replacement for why is this happening to me?
Yes.
Instead, it's what is this here to teach me?
Exactly.
You know, it's instead of why is this a punishment, it's what is this opportunity?
Yeah. And so
I just love it.
Changing that, just those little minor changes in the way that I was talking to myself, even because I started with, oh my God, I don't deserve this. Why is this person being so nice to me? I don't understand. I've done nothing to deserve this, blah, 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 blah. And then it shifted within a 30 minute period of no, I'm doing my best. I've done my best. What is this trying to teach me? Why are these feelings coming up? And then that kind of opened a conversation that, again, I'm going to keep to myself, but it opened a conversation with myself that I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. Totally. And that just opens the door for more healing, which we're all about that.
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely.
But, yeah. So I had a very recent experience with that damn inner monologue coming up to teach me something, actually. But... That's really what I had for mine to say. I mean, I don't know if I have any like tips, tricks, etc., but we do have homework in a minute.
Yes. And before we get to homework, I want to share a quote that, yes. So to my knowledge, this quote is generally attributed to Nelson Mandela. And from the research that I've done, I believe it is also incorrectly attributed to Nelson Mandela. He had said some incredibly powerful things. However, I think this is from someone else, and for the life of me, I'd have to go back and research to find out who. So, I'm sorry, I don't know at the moment, but it's powerful and I want to read it.
Yes, please do.
I also want to note that there are references to God in this, and for whatever your personal belief and leaning is spiritually, please feel free to replace the word God with whatever it is you believe. Universe, higher power, energy, Allah, you know, Buddha, whatever. Doesn't yes, matter.
Love that. Just thank you.
Use your best judgment for what's right for you.
Yes.
Okay, so I love this. It goes, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Oh.
I know. I know.
That is so powerful, Hillary.
Right?
I've heard that quote too, and I've always loved it. It's such a good one.
It's so true. So let your light shine.
Yes.
And I think the first step in that is to allow ourselves to see the light in us.
Yes.
And we can't do that if we have a harsh voice clouding over it all yes. the time. So, you know, put that voice to bed.
Yeah.
Give yourself those kind words that Chloe was talking about. And we have homework.
Yes, we do have homework.
I also feel like as we've been talking, we've been giving more homework, weirdly.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's typical.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, do the things that we already said, and then we have more.
So we kind of already did talk about how talking to yourself is like hella normal. So,
oh, totally.
Because I did have that written down here. But we also have for homework to rewrite your own narrative. Like, yes. just literally, even if you want to, before, like, say you're starting to work on this, a good starting point could also be just getting out a sheet of paper, opening mm-hmm. up your phone notebook, if that's what you got, and mm-hmm. just, you know, writing out, like, what your personal narrative, you could even write out what you currently believe and then what you would like to believe.
Yes.
And start there. See that drastic comparison and then ask yourself what steps you could take forward to move in that direction.
Yes. Yes. I love that. And it's so true. So definitely do that. If you're struggling, go ahead and ask yourself, how would I talk to my best friend?
Yes.
Or how would I talk to someone I love?
Yes.
You know? And then notice if how you would talk to them is different from how you talk to yourself.
I love
also,
that.
I would love to direct people to our episode on self-love.
Yes, please.
Because that's a big piece of this, right?
Totally.
Like, how can we talk to ourselves with love if we don't love ourselves?
I love it.
So, you know, and there's so many other things you could do. I think what Chloe was saying about giving yourself those words of affirmation is so powerful.
Oh, yes.
Do that when you need it. You know, don't wait for someone to come in from the outside and give you that. Give it to yourself.
Agreed.
And yeah, if it helps you to get an image of what that voice is for you or to understand where that voice came from,
totally. Do that.
But really, really, what Chloe said is so important. Work to rewrite that inner dialogue. Monologue, dialogue. It's both, right?
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 I don't know. I don't know what the difference is. I'm sure there is one, but I don't know what it is.
I think it's both. I think it's both.
All right, cool. It's fine. The English language is weird.
Oh my god, don't even get me started. So, I think that's all we got for you all today. That's all we got
for you guys today.
Talk kindly to yourselves.
Yes, please. Thank you for joining the conversation, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. If you love what you heard today, please come and follow us on our social media platforms. We are at Twin Flames Pod on both Instagram and Twitter. Use the hashtag AuthenticityWarrior to connect and share your authentic path with us. If you'd like to support us on our mission to spread authenticity to the collective, consider becoming a contributor on our main hub, Anchor. Anchor provides the ability not only to give feedback to the podcast, but you can also send in voice recorded questions that we are able to insert and answer on the show. Link in the show notes below. Another way to support us is by leaving a review. It really helps us to be seen and recommended more. If you do decide to review us, no matter the rating, screenshot it and send it to our email for a free guided meditation created by Hillary. More info on that below. And lastly, have a question, comment, or a concern? Send us an email. We'll do our best to reach back to you. Have a fantastic week, and remember, when you stand tall in your authenticity, you give others the assurance to do the same. We'll talk to you again next Monday.